So, I don't normally clap before every episode, but now I'm going to do
that. I'm going to do it, too. It's going to be that good.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Everybody, I have Derek Beckles with me this week. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank you for having me.
So, let's get it out of the way. You do have a show coming up.
I do. It's on Adult Swim. Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
It's 12:45 on Thursdays.
Uh-huh.
And it comes on right after the Eric Andre show, which I also did some writing on.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Hot Package, and it's just basically this really fucked up parallel universe version of Entertainment Tonight and The Insider and everything.
That's awesome.
And we actually got Pat O'Brien to be in it.
Holy shit.
Yeah, which is great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's a bit surreal.
Yeah.
Because I'm, you know, watching Pat O'Brien on TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then following his career and then standing next to him is just really weird.
I bet. Is he there throughout the whole thing? I mean, from what I read, is he basically your co-host?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
He's in every episode with me.
Just playing it straight the whole time?
Yeah.
That's so good. I mean,
it's great.
That's so good.
It's imperative that we play it straight.
Sure. Sure.
And I mean, you know, it's like as much as possible, I am trying to make like this. I want to make an entertainment magazine show that celebrates the most insane shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the guests reflect that too. And then the clips we show reflect that as well. And everything's just so sycophantic.
That's exciting.
We love everything. Mm-hmm. You know. We care about all the right things, which, you know, of course, are all the wrong things.
Sure, sure.
Which is exactly like these shows. These shows are just so bipolar and schizophrenic and so disingenuous.
Right.
Right? That I love them.
That's amazing. And I mean,
disingenuous, sorry.
I would have really assumed those shows, I should not have assumed this, but I assume those shows would have died out, but they're obviously sticking around enough that you can do the show and it's still relevant.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, Entertainment Tonight's been around for, fuck, how long?
30-some years.
It's insane. Right? Yeah.
Early 80s.
So insane. And, you know, to make fun of those shows would be, I mean, if you try to make a straight parody of those shows, mm-hmm. you would just end up shooting yourself in the foot.
Right.
Because they'll always do something out of their sheer cluelessness or mm-hmm. desperation that mm-hmm. will trump anything that you think is insane.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same as, you know, when you know, if you see a show that makes fun of the news and then lately how much we see it blow up in the same way.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
It's just like, good luck.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Good luck making fun of this.
So you have to sort of pretend like, no, I am here. Mm-hmm. I'm right alongside you guys. No, this is one of you. I am one of
these you. These are our stars.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love it.
So you didn't pick a specific album, which is fine, but on our way up, I mean, you mentioned Rusty Warren, which blew me away because people have never brought her up. This was a quest of mine to go meet her.
That's so fun. I mean, I'm into Rusty Warren. She's like, when I put on her albums, I don't sit there like killing myself laughing.
Sure.
They're not knee slappers at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a period of comedy where you can just kind of smell the cigarette smoke.
Yes.
You can smell the booze on people's breath. And it's like her audiences are just people who are there to hear dick jokes. And
mm-hmm.
they're blown away that a woman in like a mink kind of stole who's chain smoking with like a red bouffant hairdo is mm-hmm. saying the word dick and cock. But she also uses like a lot of euphemisms for whenever she talks about dick. Like her dick jokes are always like, it's just like the ultimate in suggestive, like, just like, it's like suggestive humor, double entendres. And she's still gotten tons of shit for it.
Yeah.
And then you can just, the crowd is what, like, I love hearing her crowd because it's just drunks going, ha, 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 ha. Like, you can hear some dude just coughing up a lung from the back of some fucking room. And she, it looks like she, I mean, this band in Boston album, mm-hmm. she's, I think those are all legitimate photos. People just lined up around the block to see this woman who was getting banned from all these clubs. And then you hear her shit and it's just like, I mean, comparatively, it's not terrible. I guess it's groundbreaking in a way.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
But it's not like she set some sort of comedy standard.
Right. I mean, nobody's going to put her up in the same at the same level as Lenny Bruce necessarily.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. It's still, she is one of the first women to do what she did. I mean, we had Fanny Bryce years before that.
I think
that,
there's a woman named Belle Barth.
Yes. Yeah. She also did the same kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was because I was fascinated with this period of female comedians because it was just all, you know. It was dick jokes, and people's minds were exploding that a woman was talking this way.
Right.
it's so insane. So, yeah, when you said you were going to, when you found her, I was like, no way.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think that Catherine O'Hara used to do I used to be obsessed with SCTV when I was a little kid.
Sure.
And I think Catherine O'Hara, she did a character who I think her name was no what was her name anyway she did a character with red hair, bouffant hairdo, chain smoking, and always go
hack up
a lung, and she'd always and it had to be based on Rusty Warren.
Absolutely
had to be.
What's funny too is, like, if you listen to it, it's rough in a million ways. It feels like, so punk, like, because there's, like, if there was editing, it's shitty. There's the sound quality, like you said, you hear a guy hacking in the background.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, let's put a mic here, this lady says dick jokes, put out the album, and like you said, she probably sold them at her live shows a lot.
I mean, it would be fascinating if somebody did, you know, she's a great character study, basically.
Yeah.
Like, she would be a great character in a film.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it was like a period piece around this time, and just like following her around.
Yeah, somebody's working on a stage show about her too right now.
Really?
Yes, I can't wait to talk to her about that. And they just entered a couple of her albums into like the fucking Library of Congress or some shit.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, a couple of the recordings.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I mean, there's like one person maybe going, "Oh yeah, Rusty Warren."
Yeah, right.
But she, I mean, she is a trip. I was just like, I was excited to see that. That you had her stuff on your website, because it's like whenever I talk about Rusty Warren, people are just like, I have no clue what the fuck you're talking about.
Right. What was the first, do you remember the first comedy album you ever listened to?
My brother, or my dad had, it was a Red Fox album.
Okay. Another party album.
Yeah, right? And then... I think it was like, "You gotta wash your ass." Like that.
Yes.
And his punchlines are just insane.
Yeah.
And the thing that I love about that stuff is, as a kid, you're just sneaking records on that you just find randomly, or you're watching adults listen to them, and you're just like, what? You know, and you kind of pretend that you're laughing where they're laughing.
Sure, no, 100%.
And then they shoo you out of the room because this person's about to say motherfucker. And they don't want you to know that word exists. So, but with Red Fox, I could just never... You know, it still occurs to me when I hear his stuff. It's not like I've delved into every album he's done.
Sure.
But there's a lot of times where I'm just like, was that the joke? Because he'll just stop and it'll be the punchline. It's like, I think you just stopped in the middle of a sentence. And people are like, you know... And that was his style.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's like some... He had some joke about... something about... he was in bed with a woman and she wanted him to like have rough sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Hit me, Red, hit me." And then his punchline is something like, he's like, "So I hit the bitch over the head with a brick," or something like that. And then like the crowd, like, then it says, and then he goes, "It's better than," he said something about like, "It's better than string beans." And I was like, I don't know what any of that means.
Oh my God.
But I was like, those, you know, anyways, I'm paraphrasing, but
doesn't matter. The man became nationally famous after this shit, too.
It's,
you know, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Like,
maybe not undeservedly, but it's just so weird.
I think the other album, it was like an Eddie Murphy album. I think the first thing I saw live when I was a kid was Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Shit.
And I was, that kind of blew my mind.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Live?
No, I didn't see it live.
Okay. Still.
No, that'd be great.
Yeah.
No, but just saw it on the VCR machine.
Sure. So seeing somebody actually... watching somebody perform stand-up is just this whole new animal. You know? On camera or otherwise.
Yeah.
You know? And that man was a fucking showman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's like very prior, very...
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, he was. I mean, that's like... I don't know if those dudes... I mean... It's also like a different scene. Like, these guys came up through a different scene in comedy,
sure,
too. Like, and just like traveled in different circles. But yeah, it was very shit. I mean, like red leather suits. Just like, whenever I watch that shit, I'm just like, my balls start sweating. Because I'm just like, it must be a tropical fucking rainstorm inside of your fucking leather pants right now. I can't, like, just water pouring out of your, you know, just fucking pouring out around your ankles, just ball sweat. But I don't know, these guys, they were great. They got up in underneath hot lights, and sure. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm talking about men wearing full head to toe leather, tight leather.
Is there an album that you still listen to? Do you get to listen to much comedy? I mean,
I do, and I don't. Like I have friends who are far more obsessive about sitting down and having and just like listening to an album beginning mm-hmm. to end. Mm-hmm. I'm like a little bit ADD about that.
Sure.
Where I kind of have to do it in doses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've had the other thing is I've luckily been able to see more live stuff since I've been in LA.
Uh-huh.
But you know, like Hannibal did a thing and still does, like at the, I think he still does, but at the Knitting Factory in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Brooklyn now, which is fucking great. He did like a weekly thing. There's like great people on that, and then you know out here, like I love going to see Brett Gelman.
Yeah,
people like that.
Yeah,
I think Brett's fucking hilarious because he just basically does whatever he wants.
Right,
he does not care if the audience wants to kill him at the end of it. It's fantastic.
That's an art, man. That's an insane art that I don't know how I can't grasp it myself.
Like, yeah. Especially not giving a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately kind of not giving a fuck is fantastic.
And I've got hundreds of albums here where
I'm just staring at them.
The point, you know what I mean, was please give a fuck.
Yeah.
Every one of these jokes was just put together so that you will laugh right here.
Yeah.
And then to take that, to know what this shit is, and to know that you also want laughs, but then to also be like, no, I don't give a fuck. Like, mm-hmm. that, I don't understand it. I can't do it. I could never do it. But I mean, you're also working. You're working on a network that is notorious for doing stuff that is intentionally to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know. I mean, my show. I'm doing my show with Tim and Eric's production company. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they were in the writers' room for a bit, and you know, and Michael Cera was in there for a bit, and uh-huh. like Tommy Blatcher, like great people, and they're all really good at being uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and you know, like even Heidecker, when you see him do something,
oh god,
live, it's uh-huh. like it's fantastically uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and I mean, like, and it's fucking hilarious, and Adult Swim is, I mean, like Mike Lazzo loves that stuff. Mm-hmm. Luckily,
is it tough? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, but I mean, just like, you know, he really gets off on, I think, like really special minds, you know,
right.
people like doing like really special, very special versions of humor. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Oh, I mean, that kind of stuff obviously makes you think harder because your first question is, what am I not getting? Maybe sometimes,
yeah,
you know. And then once you get, you're like, oh, there, maybe there's less to get here, but there's, you know, I'm missing something.
And
here,
I think when it's done properly, and hopefully I'm doing it with my show, but you know, you're teaching people. You know, it's a new language.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In certain ways. And yeah, there's that it's challenging and it's also risky, you know.
Is it difficult to reconcile that though? Knowing like punchline comedy is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't, you know. I prefer making things that are uncomfortable or weird. Like
sure.
when I said, or I still do, but a series I used to do, TV Carnage.
Mm-hmm.
It was just all about that.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's all about people actually trying to achieve something.
Sure,
and either awkward moments or gestures or just missing the mark completely, and they think that they've landed on the moon basically, and it's mm-hmm. like you're not even close. you know, or you know, basically they just think they've landed, and it's just like you. That's thank you for doing it. Your version of it mm-hmm. is so genius compared to doing it the right way.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's completely ineffective for what you're trying to achieve. But I love it. I'm fucking happy you did it. I'm happy that you're that bad at doing that.
Right.
And it's not even like a good or bad thing anymore. It's just like, it's anti-effective.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, in terms of what they want to achieve.
Sure.
But they've done something else that's so genius that I think that even if you said, like, the reason I really like that is because they would never, you know what I mean? They would never get it.
Right.
But that's what I enjoy, you know? I mean, I think that's what a lot of this is all about. And it's just, you know, on Adult Swim and stuff, it's people, I think, really kind of master the whole idea of those, like, weird moments and, you know.
Sure.
Just, yeah.
Were your did your parents introduce you to comedy? I mean, it sounds like you snuck a few, but did they introduce you to anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, my dad's a funny dude. My mother's funny, too, but she doesn't go for a lot of comedy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, she doesn't, like, search it out, but she's pretty funny. But I remember, like, you know, watching any sort of absurdist stuff on TV, and my mother would just be like, "This is ridiculous. Why are you this is stupid." And then she'd just walk out of the room. She really kind of, like, had to announce that every time, and then she would leave. Like, she needed to let me know that how can you watch this? You know, it would just be something fucking nuts. But she was just like, "This is..." And then, you know, my dad is a pretty funny guy, though. He's the one who had, like, a lot of comedy albums and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd find things that way, and just, you know, friends' houses and everything. And then, you know, there's, like, I grew up in Canada, so there's like, the television industry in Canada is unbelievably different.
Right, right.
While it tries to emulate American TVs, like, basically it tries to emulate what the success that American TV has.
Sure.
In Canada,
mm-hmm.
for Canadians, by Canadians,
mm-hmm.
slightly and largely involving the government.
Uh-huh.
And everybody knows how fucking hilarious the government
sure.
is. So, so we ended up with these really, really weird shows, and a lot of like we, it's like largely an acquisitions market. So we would have.
Right.
We're just notoriously cheap, so the Canadian TV stations are just like, oh, we're not going to spend a lot of money. Why don't we just... So they would just acquire, like, the weirdest shows from Britain,
uh-huh.
the weirdest comedies, like, on the cheap, and stuff that, you know, until I went to England for the first time, I, you know, it's like, you could tell it was, like, old stuff, but mm-hmm. you mentioned it to somebody as, like, trying to, like, culturally
sure.
share something with them, and uh-huh. it's just like, yeah, I mean, when we, you know, we, like, we watched Dave Allen at Large in Canada, and they're like... You what? And it's like, Dave, and like, that show hasn't been on in like fucking 20 years, mate. And you're just like, all right, well, I guess to the end of that conversation.
Well, that's, you know, and I felt it the first time after being a teenager and thinking, Are You Being Served was the greatest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
First hearing somebody who's English shit on it, I'm like, oh, really?
Okay. That's a show my mother lost her shit over.
Yeah, yeah.
No, my mother killed herself laughing watching Are You Being Served.
Too. Yeah.
I'm almost like, oh my... Then I'd walk into the room and go, are you kidding me? What the fuck are you doing? And she was like, ah, I can't believe it. They're not being served. They're being so rude to them. I'm like, oh my God.
I mean, at least we're lucky over here that we got Monty Python, so at some point you can... Well, I mean, it's obviously it's a little too typical to say I really love Monty Python, but it's undeniable. I'm just... God, now I want to know what stuff that you got in Canada that would be... it's too much to remember, I'm sure.
It was... I'm saying ugh because I'm having flashbacks and they're not necessarily...
What's the best homegrown ones? Canadian stuff besides SCTV?
Oh my God, dude, there was... Okay, the other great thing about Canada is that they will ram TV shows down your throat
mm-hmm.
for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like... You know, people in this, you know, here it's just like, oh, The Simpsons has been on for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's because people watch it.
Yeah.
It's yeah. largely driven by views.
Not just because they're still making
it. And in Canada, it's because they're still making it. It's
fucking
like,
crazy.
Look, here's the deal. We're employing about 200 people that are would normally be unemployable, and you just have these hosers that have massive houses and like a skidoo, and you know, I got a boat and a skidoo, and I got my cars and everything, and because they've been working on a show called The Beachcombers, which was a show that was on in Canada that they played for fucking ever.
Uh-huh.
And it was about a guy played by this guy named Bruno Gerussi who brought logs down from BC's interior and sold
uh-huh.
them.
Uh-huh.
This is already... you can tell. Like, I'm just like, just saying this out loud is like the... It's the worst fucking show idea in the world. So he'd bring logs down, and then there's this guy named Relic who would steal logs from him. And they were beachcombers because they would, they, both of them would like try and get logs that had floated away from other companies. And it's just like the minutiae of the logging industry with like kooky characters. But they would like, it would be a drama. It was, I mean, it was a drama. Holy shit. You're supposed to be invested in these. And it's just like, this is, and that was on for like 20 years. That's, and then there was a show called, I mean, there's, I mean, the Canadian sitcoms that are being made are really safe. Mm-hmm. But, like, the Hallmark ones that are, like, just unbelievable. There's, like, a show called The Trouble with Tracy that was made in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, well, I found out what they did, and this is, speaks to how cheap Canadians are. They bought, apparently the story is they bought a bunch of radio plays.
Uh-huh.
Like, they just got on the cheap. Like, radio plays from the 40s. Bought this series, and then they barely changed the scripts. They just updated the characters somewhat.
It's amazing.
And then they just went with it. So when you're watching the show, you're like, there's, it has this really weird sense of timing, and it feels really long, and it feels like nothing's really happening. Like it's fascinating to watch because it is not. It's so not funny at all, and there's like a laugh track that they just pump in.
Woof. Oh, God.
You know, but the reason it is so extra odd is because you realize, oh, these fucking guys just changed the characters' names and put them in like cool, not even cool, but what they considered cool fashions of the day, and made them hippies and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And it was still a radio play, so a character would come in and go, "Oh, hello, Mr. Brown. Oh, hello. How are you? I'm fine. Well, that's quite a nice frock you're wearing. Well, thank you very much. And I like your hat." Like, everything's descriptive.
Fuck, that's amazing.
It's for radio, but, you know, it's being filmed.
Anyways, of course.
You get it. But yeah. That's Canadian TV to me.
That's so good.
I mean, there's a lot of just a lot of really weird shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people like know about the Degrassi.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
All that shit.
But sure.
There's just like a lot of weird. Anyway, so my anything that was supposed to be comedy in Canada was so warped and so weird.
Yeah.
And usually largely unsuccessful. There's like a lot of funny Canadians, but oh my God.
Is there a point in creating comedy where you remember a switch flipping where you were maybe more, or were you always interested in, I'll just use the word alternative because I can't think of another word.
I guess so. And I just had like, I grew up in Scarborough, which is, I think it has lots to do with, you know, I grew up and it was like, it's bored, you know, just bored to tears. And so I had like a crew of friends that were all weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
So when we would start writing stuff, it was largely based on people watching, you know, which, I mean, sounds standard, but it was like we just, I think we became really good at watching people and figuring out what was not cool about being an adult, you know, and there's nothing like that. I think that's the switch that flips, is like when you're like 8, you're like, oh, I think adults are full of shit. I'll have to get back to you when I confirm that. Right. And then like 2 years later, you're like, confirmed. Yeah. And then you can't do anything about it until you're like maybe 13.
Yeah.
And then, you know. So.
You know what? Since we didn't, and you have a bit of a schedule to keep. Since you didn't pick an album, is there one album that you could say that sticks out in your mind where, that you could recommend people listen to that they might not normally have thought to listen to?
God.
We try and find something rare. And I mean, this Rusty Warren thing, we'll probably, I mean, when we meet her, we're going to talk about all of her
yeah,
albums.
Of course.
But we pick
yeah.
random shit here. You know, I think everybody should listen to pretty much every one of these albums.
Yeah.
You know,
you've got great stuff here.
You know,
a wall of records right now.
Although that one, that Groucho one's a bootleg, which is a little weird, but it's kind of awesome. It is kind of, it's the only bootleg comedy album that ever came out, pretty much.
You know, well, actually, this just came to mind. It's something I haven't even thought about in years, quite honestly, but because we'd mentioned, we were talking about SCTV earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Moranis put, I remember being obsessed with this.
Uh-huh.
Rick Moranis came out, did this album, this comedy album, and he did this character named Jerry Todd, which is from SCTV.
Uh-huh.
But he does an amazing scat version of the American National Anthem. that I think everybody should hear.
Oh my god.
That's the first weird, let's just like, because nobody's, I don't think anybody's going to be able to find that album. But I recommend you listen to that.
I will hunt that down. I will hunt that down.
You know, and everybody I know right now is obsessed with The Day the Laughter Died.
Uh-huh.
And everybody debates about, has their debate about that album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know.
Well,
sorry, I hope I haven't disappointed you.
Are you kidding me? No.
I'm blown away by your comedy album.
No. You knew who Rusty Warren was. That's all you had to do, man. That's all you had to do. We talked about
your... And I know I'm going to get in my car and go, God damn it, what did I talk about?
You can come back on anytime.
All right, thank you, sir.
Do you want to plug it one more time? Twitter and all that good shit?
Yeah, it's called, Twitter's The Real Hot Package, and the show's called Hot Package, and it's on Thursdays at 12:45 on... Adult Swim right after Eric Andre, which is another, the Eric Andre show, which is another fucking great show.
Yeah.
And yay, watch yay. It, please.
And you on
I'd like
Twitter
to make
are,
more of them.
You should. And let's people please watch it.
Please but watch
where
it.
Where are you on Twitter?
The Real Hot Package right. And TV Carnage.
TV Carnage. Yeah. Okay, awesome. Huh. Thank you, man.
Thank you
so much. It was a lot
We're
of fun.
We're shaking hands right now.
Yes, we are. And everybody, thanks for listening. As always, have a good thing.
Thank you.